not the color. Everybody always thinks of the noun, but
actually, maroon is also a verb, and which means to put ashore, or to leave to one's fate, or it can even mean to leave isolated. Basically, in history, maroons, as we know of them, would be black folks that escaped slavery, and then they formed and joined like free or secluded settlements, right? They were runaways, and they escaped permanently to live in other settlements. So basically, and you find these all over the world, but this is how we know them. From like the 17th century to the Civil War, there was thousands of people called maroons. They were runaways who obtained freedom. So our first point, the M word, maroon, remember the verb, the maroons, it means to leave. And you'll find out this is one of the key verses in the Bible when it talks about moms. And you know what it says? You must leave your father and mother and cleave to your wife. So the first thing as a mom you got to keep in mind is the end goal. The end goal is your children will leave. And it's actually a positive thing, even though it don't always feel like it. The M is going to be the word order. Or how the Bible arranges a mom. Basically, the Bible says a mother should be honored. The Bible says honor your father and mother in Ephesians chapter 6. So we're going to arrange a proper order in our life, and mama's got to be at the top. So we got maroons. So mama, you're raising up maroons. Young ones that are actually one day going to leave. That's the end goal. You want them to, really, don't you? You probably won't know that till they're 32. And then you're like, okay, son, it's time. You got to go. And then we're going to put an O, an order to this, and that's what Paul does, that we're going to respect and honor them. And the last M for mom, M-O-M, is going to be you are a model. Your children are going to be miniature representations of you. And this is what in 2 Timothy 1:5, it says Timothy, Paul says about Timothy, he says, Timothy, you have an unfeigned faith, man. Your faith is amazing. And that started in your grandma and in your mom. And it was passed on to you. You modeled that. Your mom modeled that for you. And now you're going to be a model to the believer. So, you ready to go? Here we're going to go. Let's hit all three of them. The first one, the first M is going to be your training maroons. Or your children one day are going to leave. Ephesians 5:31. Leave your father and mother and be joined or cleave unto your wife. So, this is a good principle in life. Start with the end in mind. You ever do that? I've taken classes before. They're like, what do you want them to say at your funeral? Hey, what do you want on your tombstone? And if you can see that at the end, then you can work your way backwards and make great plans for your life. Plan backwards. It really works well. But you know, your children are fixing to leave. So basically, moms, this is your surrender, man. This is your sacrifice. You're putting all this work, ultimately, to see them leave. You're going to lose them. You're supposed to. Now, their responsibility is to leave you. And your responsibility is you're going to have to let go so that they can fly. Now, the first reason to allow your kids to go, the Bible's clear on this. It's the Ephesians verse. It's also in Genesis chapter 2. And that is at the very beginning. You know, there was a, you know, when Adam was created, and the Bible says in Genesis 2, you shall leave your father and mother and cleave to your wife. Super important. You've got to have a separation to be able to cleave to your wife. So listen, for your children to have successful marriages, it means you've got to leave them, right? And it's going to be very hard to do, especially when it's all not being done the way you think it should be done. But one of the healthy reasons of allowing and training your kids to be, you know, and maroons were actually in history, they were rebels. They literally broke out and left slavery, and ultimately just for their independence. So you got to raise rebels in this rough world that your children can leave and they're able to leave you. Enough of love and of a lifeline there. And let me tell you what, though. You do your job right, they'll be calling, they'll be coming back. You know, my girls have loved me and I've had a great relationship with them. But every time they got hurt as a kid, who did they run to? They always ran to their mom, man. That's how God made this thing to work. And I'm here to tell you, I got a super special relationship with my mother. She's dear to my heart. I called her this morning, man, and she was surprised. I usually don't call her because I'm super busy Sunday morning. And she says, man, I'm so surprised. And we sent her some gifts and some cologne. I said, hey, man, before you go to church, spray that cologne on. Because I know you. You know, and she says, man, thank you so much. But my mom did a great job taking me and my brother out of the projects. And my father is a great guy, but my dad was a very passive, quiet man. So my mom really took a role in a leadership that probably wasn't hers to take. And to this day, I love talking to her. I want her approval still. I still call her, and any news we have, bad or good, I want my mom to know about it, you know. So mama, it ain't all bad, and you do your work, and I'm telling you, they're going to be calling back. But I'll tell you, more importantly than this, mom, you want your kids to leave the comfort of you and your home. The Bible says in Matthew 19:29 that if a man or a woman is not able to forsake his mom and dad for the sake of the kingdom, then the Bible says if they do that, they'll have a huge reward. Because it's hard. My mom lives 9 hours from me. It's very hard. I remember Becky's mom, before she passed away, she said, can't you find a church near home? Can't you find a church around here? And it was very hard, especially when she started going through cancer. And I got their daughter. She's with me. And she's here. And we're at the place where God's called us to be. And I want you to know, I feel like my wife has forsaken her mom. But she did it for Jesus. She did it for me too. But she did it for Jesus. And there's going to be a huge reward for her one day. You know, leaving ain't all that bad. You know what Jesus Christ said? He said, I will leave the 99 to save the one. You know, there's a good reason for the leaving. It don't always think about it. Like, oh man, my babies are going to be gone. And my mom said, man, your brother, good thing. He said, when you took off, then your brother took off. But my brother had the first grandchild. And so my mom and dad got to spend quite a bit of time with the grandchild. She goes, that filled a void in her life. But boy, there's going to be an emptiness. And I'm going to find out this year. Both my girls are going to be moving out here within 4 or 5 months. So anyways, the first M is train your kids to be maroons, rebels, that they can leave. Mom, yes, and I know, but they got to cleave elsewhere. First of all, you want them to cleave to Jesus, right, Mom? Amen? You want your kids to cleave to the Lord. But listen, that's going to mean forsaking you. Don't take that too personal. Don't wrap them emotions too tight that your child cannot fly. There'll be a huge reward for this. And by the way, have your kids ever forsaken you? Be real. Have they? When I was the first one, I took off from the house first of all as a bachelor. I'd be talking to my mom and she'd be like, yeah, well, last week everybody came over, you know, it's my birthday. And I was like, I forgot birthdays, Mother's Day. I was so wrapped up, I'm just trying to survive, man. I was like, man, my poor mother, you know, I've forsaken her before. And you know what? And then she got wrapped in some trouble up in her own life. And I remember Christmases would go by and she's like, Mike, sorry, I had nothing. I said, Mom, it's okay. You know what she taught me? There's one who never forsakes. It's Jesus Christ. He'll never leave you or never forsake you. People, parents, and children don't do this on purpose. But you'll be let down. The church will let you down. We're humans, right? But there's one who will not let us down, right? You've heard the story of the eagle, I'm sure. It's a great story about what eagles do. You know, when a mother eagle will build the nest, and sometimes it's a massive nest, they'll take thorns, rocks, branches. It's actually a rough nest. And the very end is when she goes and gathers all these little things like feathers, fur, wool, things she can find to make it a little bit softer inside that nest. She'll lay a few eggs, and then the newborn chicks come alive. And all of a sudden, when they reach an age where it's time to fly, it's very common for a mother. We call it stirring the nest. She'll stir the nest. She'll slowly and surely start yanking out that padding and not making it so comfortable. She'll take her talons and pull that. And then you know what's left in the nest? Rocks, thorns, branches. It's a little bit rough. So she has a deliberate process of making sure that environment is not so comfortable for her little eaglets that she wants to fly. If she wouldn't stir the nest, they might not ever have a desire to fly. I've heard of eagles actually ripping the complete nest to shreds just so they don't have a place to come back. So Mama, remember that. We want our children to fly. We want them to soar. And part of this, and look at that. Can you imagine? I remember Sam especially. I remember homesickness. And every football player that comes in, I like it. You'll have a big... I remember there was this one boy from... He was actually from Florida. He had a Disney Princess backpack. But this kid was massive. He benched 425 pounds. He was a big man. And I remember we were doing team building one day. Everybody left the room in the Huff Center. And he was sitting on a table. And I went up and I said, hey man, I said, are you doing okay? And he goes, no. And this big old boy started crying. He said, "Man, I miss my mommy." Man, I put my arms around him. I said, "You know what? That's a good thing, man. That's a good thing." Some players like don't care. Like, "Oh, no, that's not good. You should miss your mom. That means something's pretty special." You know, the problem is when he wanted to return home, Mama was there the next day and took him home. I was like, "Oh, Mama, man, you're blowing it, man. This guy needs to fly, you know." That's okay. You know, we understand the principles. So, Mom, I hope you know one of the principles is to teach your kids to be rebellious. To get behind what would be the bars of slavery of your home. You know, when they're teenagers, they start looking in the eye. It hurts, don't it, a little bit? When you don't have the leverage like that you used to do, and then they grow taller than you, and you watch them leave, and sometimes they're not home, and you can see it. It's happening, right? It's part of the process, isn't it? They're going to leave one day. The good news is that they leave to soar for Jesus, man. That's what you really want. Or their spouse. I remember in the projects once, my dad was working out in the yard, and we lived in the government projects, and he's working the front planting flowers and stuff. And my mom reaches back with this rake and she hits my dad, man, right in the forehead. Bah! It hit my dad in the forehead and he took off after. I was going to witness my dad was going to kill my mom. So they're running. Well, my grandparents lived like literally several buildings down in the same projects. And they get over there and my mom runs into the house and slams the door behind her. You know, so everybody else was running behind to see this murder that's getting ready to take place. And all of a sudden, the door opens up and my grandfather, at this time, was not a Christian man. He has my mom stood up by her arm, and he's like, "Hey, you married him? That's your husband." And he shut the door, and he turned her loose. But what a good dad. She said, "I so needed that. I didn't have a place to go because she left. Now she needs to cleave to him." So she took her lickings, you know. So the second point is the O word would be a proper order. And gang, in this room, our fathers and mothers, something that's missing in our culture desperately, we need to teach it in the church. Honor your father and mother. And don't give me the business about how awful your mama was, how awful your growing up was. My God, we're Christians, man. We believe in forgiveness, don't we? I should not get forgiveness. I was a sinner. I was an enemy against God, and He forgave me. If you can't forgive your mom and dad, guys, I got to witness a young girl in Belize who was abused by her father for several years. And I'm talking about ugly abuse. I got to witness. I was there. I seen the tears. You know how I learned about this? I was singing a song. Remember that old song, "When No One Understands How I Feel"? When no one knows how I feel, your love for me seems so. When nobody understands, there's one that does. I was playing this song. She was weeping. And that's when everybody got around her. The pastor said she has been molested by her dad for years and she hates his guts. And you know what she did? She went home and said, "You did me so wrong." And she extended forgiveness to her father. Can you believe that? I'm like, does he deserve that? No. Usually when you get forgiveness, you don't. You know, isn't that mercy? We get it, man. God's loving grace and mercy, we don't get it. So listen, we're going to give our mom and dads honor. Ephesians 6:2 says, "Honor thy father and mother." It's the first commandment with promise, the Bible says. You know, to honor means to give a high value. That's what you do. You like give estimates and you put a high value on something, right? And when I first started my business years ago, the construction business, I would always give jobs away. And I just thought, well, here's what I would pay for, you know. And so I would always estimate my own time worth hardly nothing. And I was just like, my gosh, I had to learn to place a higher value on that, because then I'd go home and my family was hungry. I was hurting them. So when I value my wife, I bump the price up over here. Do you see how that works? It's called honor. The same word for honor is used, the word value. Do you remember when Judas Iscariot betrayed Christ? He betrayed him for how many pieces of silver? 30. That's what he valued the Savior at. He hosed the Savior for 30 pieces of silver. But he placed a value on him. It was awful. The other disciples, you know what they placed a value on the Lord? Their lives. They all gave their lives for Jesus Christ. Guys, this is more than words. This is more than words. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:9 to honor the Lord with our substance. Or the first fruits of our labor. One of the ways we show the Lord that we honor Him is with our pocketbooks. It's the things we have, the substance we have. My money's His, and I freely give. You know, the Bible says that. That's where your heart's going to be. Your treasure and your heart are connected there. And so, you know, if you love your spouse, what you're going to do, you're going to not just say those, you know, I love you, I love you, I love you. You're going to show that. If you're going to give the Lord honor, it's more than words, it's our actions, right? Right. Matthew 15:8, Jesus says, you know, a lot of times they draw nigh to me with their mouth, but their heart's far from me. God doesn't want that business from you and me, right? This is more than lip service. To call your mom twice a year to say you love her. She ain't no fool. She wishes you really loved her. She wishes she had the relationship with you. There's a beautiful story years ago of USC had a tailback. His name was Sultan McAuliffe. He was a tailback for Southern California. And then he played in the NFL for the Redskins. Did I say that? He played also some Canadian football. But you know what he did? He wanted to honor his mom. And so he wanted to honor his mom, so he got her name Mabel tattooed 4-inch letters across his chest. It says M-A-B-L-E, Mabel. 4 inches tall. The only problem was his mother's name, Mabel, was spelled M-A-B-E-L. He tattooed his mom's name on his chest and spelled it wrong. They asked her about it. Here's what she said. She was, it doesn't really matter to me. She said, that is my baby, and he's such a sweet young man because he honored his mom. He honored her. Let's give honor to our moms. If there's any human being on the planet, man. You know one reason to honor? By the way, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, check this verse out. 1 Timothy 5:1, it says, the elder women in your church, so people that are of elderly age, it says, we need to give them honor. So how are we going to honor them? How do you want to treat an elder woman in your church? Treat her like what? A mother. And even the younger ones, you treat them as sisters. It's respect. The highest honor you can give an elderly woman is you respect her and you treat her as a mother. As mothers. Psalm speaks of moms. It gives 3 B words for moms. It says, she holds her children in her bowels. Now, in our culture, that's a little disgusting, isn't it? But the bowels meant on the inside. From the deepest part of her being, she holds her children. Psalms 22:10 says, and her children, she had them in her belly. There's the next B word, in her belly. You know what moms do? Yeah, they sacrifice their bellies for you. Their physique for you. You know, that's what moms do. Look at these stretch marks, man. Look at this pooch here. Man, you earned that one. I've never birthed a child, and I'm having trouble up here. Psalms 22:9, even before that, it says a mother, she gives to her kids her breast. You nurture your child next to your heart. God supernaturally gave you the substance and the ability to nurture and make a child healthy right here, from next to your heart, right here. This is what moms do. Proverbs 4:3 says, tender and beloved am I in the sight of my mother. Tender and beloved. This is what mothers bring to us. And you know what they deserve? They deserve our honor. Let's honor them. Let's put a high value of respect on them. You know, by the way, if you don't want to do that, the Bible says if you want to be foolish, you know what you do to your mom? The Bible says don't forsake your law, because if you do, Proverbs calls you foolish. If you're a foolish son, you'll be the heaviness to your mom. I got to watch my mom for years carry my older brother as he went into a habit of drugs. It's so hard to watch your mom carry a weight that's too heavy for her. He was the heaviness of her, man. Proverbs 15 says, a foolish son, you know what you do? You despise your mother. That's the hatred word. Quit hating her. You're hating on your mom. And they would say, I don't hate. Yes, you do. You, with your mouth you say you love, but with your actions you hate. Proverbs 19 says, people that chase away their mothers, you are nothing but a shame. You are a shame. By the way, lady, if you land a guy and you're checking this guy out, watch the way he treats his mom. If he's disrespectful to his mom, give him the boot, man. He'll be ashamed of you one day. Proverbs 20:20 just says, any man that would curse his mom, his lamp ought to be put out. That's one thing that helped me. Is, you know, before I became a Christian, I was getting in trouble myself, but I watched my brother get in some deep trouble, and I watched it be a heartache to my mom. That was one of the motivating factors. I was like, my gosh, I hate when my mom cries. I hate when she's done wrong. And I remember her taking me up to court, and I just remember she was so ashamed. I was standing there before the judge for the second time. It was awful. It helped me. It helped me to look over and be like, now I'm killing this lady. I need to bring her honor. Proverbs 23 says, a wise son will make his mom glad. I called her this morning to say, hey, you know I love you. You know, and of course I sent her a note, and we sent her a few little gifts. And for my birthday this year, she sent me a card, and she said, son, so proud of who you've become. You know what's funny about that, guys? When I first started off in life and I took off several states away, my brother made good money. He worked for a union machine company, and so he had two homes, and like, you know, I mean, he was just making it, man. They had fat money, and I'm up there eating bologna and peanut butter every day, you know, not doing so well. And then I chose to get in the ministry, which went, wow, little did I realize that was going to be a, you know, a kick in the teeth, you know, as far as financially goes. And I remember my dad talking about, man, your brother, man, he just got a new car. You know what he just bought? Hey, man, your brother just got another new truck. And I'd go up there, and my brother had this apartment with a bar. He had a bar in his house, so all the guys would go over and watch football at his house. He had TVs up everywhere. He'd have to pay money to get in the door. His wife would cook. Like, I mean, he just had the life I always desired to get into. That party life caught up with him, and then he couldn't pay for it after a bit. Then I started watching. Guys, it took years. And finally, I see my brother going downhill. He's the heaviness of my mom. And my dad wrote me a letter. And my dad said, hey, son, I need to tell you I'm proud of you. It's the first time I've ever heard it from my dad. And so, anyways, I hear it from my mom because she passed on the faith to me. And so I want to be a wise son and make my mom glad. You want to be wise today? Make mama happy. Or you can shoot her the truth. They're not perfect. I mean, this lady gave her life for me. She sacrificed much for me. Let's put them in a high respect. I don't know if anybody's ever seen this. Have you ever seen that interview? This was back about 2000. And I watched this interview. It was really sweet. This lady's named Indra Nooyi. I'm probably saying it wrong. Sorry, Indra. I'll probably never meet her in my life. But she worked at PepsiCo. It was 9:30 at night. She's at PepsiCo Company. 9:30 p.m. and her phone rang in her office. And on the other line was a member of the corporate board and said this. We're here to inform you today that you're going to be the next president of PepsiCo. And she was proud. So, Nooyi, she was one of the first women to ever break that level of the corporate ceiling, you know. So she recounts, this is what happened. And here's her words now, what she said in the interview. She said, I went home to tell my family that I was going to be the president of PepsiCo. And my mom opened the door. She was living with me at the time. And I said, Mom, I have great news for you. And she says, before the news, I want you to go get some milk. She said, Mom, it's 10 o'clock at night. Why should I go get milk? And then she says this, you know, you should never question your mom. I went and I got the milk and I came back and I sort of banged it on the counter. I was upset and I said, I had some big news for you. She goes, today I just became appointed the president of PepsiCo. All you care about is milk. She said, my mom looked at me and she says, what are you talking about? When you walk in that door, she goes, you leave your crown in the garage. You're a wife. You're a daughter. You're a daughter-in-law. You're a mother of children. That's all I want you to talk about in this house. She goes, anything else, leave in the garage. She goes, don't ever try this with me anymore. The interviewer said, man, how did that sit with you? You know, is it your mom? Like, you think she's proud of you? She says, she goes, I'm not sure. She goes, but my mom does keep me grounded. Isn't that sweet? What a story. She honors her mom. And she knows better. There's priorities over big bucks and being the president of a large company, isn't there? You ready for number three? We'll get out of here. I'm starting to push it, man. You knew I was going to push it, didn't you? Mom, M, right? You're raising these maroons, these rebellions, so they can leave and do well, mainly for Jesus. Oh, there's an order. Guys, you know what we need to do? Rank them high. And hey, when you meet somebody, you're in their dating relationship, you better make sure that they put their mom and their father and their mother, they need to put them in the proper order. And honestly, it should be over you at first. You should watch this. That's, by the way, when you have a relationship and you see that start turning. And a lot of people, you know what they do? They ditch their parents right away. They got a new squeeze over here off to the side. I'm like, you know what I'd do with that guy? He's out. You know what I'd do with that girl? She's done. This is my mom. Right? And then when that starts turning, everybody starts beginning to know what's going to happen. They're going to get married. And then the natural leave and the cleave takes place. The last thing, and I think it's the best thing, the last M is going to be you're modeling. That's what you're doing. You are making little miniatures of you with your children. So 2 Timothy 1:5, it says this. The unfeigned faith that's in thee, it dwelt first in your grandma and in your mom. That word unfaith is like with hypocrisy. Timothy, you are not fake at all, man. Your faith is vibrant and alive. And guess what? That's from your mom. You know, so mom, I just want to encourage you today. Be worthy to be copied. I don't want mothers leaving this place going, oh my gosh, what a failure I am. I've not been worthy to be copied. Hey, let me tell you something. That's why you're under this message. You will be today. Starting today, that's changing. Right? That's what repentance is. You're like, boy, I've been messing up. And then you turn. That's what you do. Don't godly people, Proverbs says, changes the way of life. Why do we come to church every week? It's hard, isn't it? I'm always faced in my life with an area where God says, dude, you better turn. I'm like, turn and go back to where I'm supposed to be. And mom, that's what it is for you today. Be encouraged to be sitting under this message. God might just be getting your attention. You know how it is. The things I look at my kids, I'm like, my gosh, where'd she get that from? And I'll tell you, it's her mom. She's the model here. She's the one. You know, it's only precious artwork. They always want to mimic it. They always want to make copies of it. And even sell it for a fortune still because it's so precious. And I want you to know, mom, your relationship with the Lord is just that precious. It's worthy to be copied, man. I hope you walk with Jesus today. The Bible says that all that happened with Israel in the Old Testament, that happened for an example to us. So, mom, good and the bad. You know what you need to do? My mom, you know what she told me, my brother? My mom got pregnant at 14 years old. She had my brother when she was 15. So when we became teenagers, my mom would constantly be saying, hey, you better not be playing with fire. She talked to us about girls. Here's what happens. I mean, You know, I mean, when I hit the sixth grade, I think it was fifth grade, they did sex education. They called me up in the class and asked me to teach it. Because my mom gave it to me already. She was constantly telling us, hey, watch this. By the way, if you get into Proverbs 31, you know, we like to quote that verse that says, you know, hey, men, give not your strength to women. That's what the Bible says. Give not your strength to women. Give not your strength to women. Who said that? Well, God did. You know who he said it through? A mom. Read it. Proverbs 31. It was a mom that taught her son that. Son, don't you give your strength to women. What? You'd think a mom would say the opposite, wouldn't she? You know, many a kings have fallen to a lot of women, and not good women at that. And so don't give your strength. That's not how that thing works, right? And so in 1 Peter 5:3, it even tells pastors, I'm not supposed to lord over the flock. It's not my job to lord the flock. It's my job to be an example to the flock. And so, mom, that's it. Be careful. Helicopter moms in the room, don't think you're being a great mom being a helicopter mom. That's not controlling every aspect of your children's lives. That's not how that thing works. It actually, as they get older, you got to release and more rope and more rope and more rope. Don't lord over them. Be an example to them of what it means to love and to follow the Lord. And that means taking a lot of risks, doesn't it? Right? And I like Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37. It says this, if you love father and mother more than me, you're not worthy of me. So mom, love your children. Children, love your moms. And we give them honor. But when it's time to fly, you know what, moms, you should teach your children? Follow Jesus. Hey, moms, here's a good one for you. You ever apply this verse this way? Remember that Jesus was at a wedding? They ran out of wine. What did Jesus' mom say to the servants? She pointed to Jesus. No, it was her son. But she pointed to Jesus and she said, you do everything he tells you to do. Mom, that's your word. To your kids. You tell your sons and your daughters, you do everything that Jesus tells you to do. That's what you do. You model that, mom. That's what you do. There's a church sign. They put this on Mother's Day. God couldn't be everywhere, so he gave us mothers. Isn't that sweet? Yeah, it sounds sweet. But it's wrong. It's biblically wrong. God couldn't be everywhere. God is everywhere. You know, we need to reverse that thing. And you know what it needs to say? Moms can't be everywhere. You better tell your kids to follow God. better introduce them to Jesus. When they go off to school and you're nervous, guys, I've done it many a times. I've sent my kids places where I'm out of control. I'm not there. And what helicopter mom's just like, nope. That's what they do. Ah, I'm not letting go. And you'll have trouble one day. You know, that's what. So the Bible says, do what Jesus asked you to do. Be willing to forsake your mom for a greater cause, right? Mom, I just want to encourage you today. Seek the kingdom of God. Don't worship your children. Worship Jesus. Because that's the model that they're going to catch. Let them catch that. You know, in the Bible, it says, don't let your kids pass through the fire. You ever see that in the Old Testament? You're reading along and you're just like, yeah, in Israel, they got hooked up with Molech and they were letting their kids, they were putting their kids in the fire of Molech. What? They were burning their kids? Yeah. They were worshiping false gods. That's what they were doing, and their kids were, they were passing them through the fire. And the Bible just says, what in God's name are you doing? Hey, Mom, be careful what you worship, right? Don't sacrifice. Don't sacrifice your kids to something ridiculous like that. But what you do is you serve the Lord and you love Jesus. You seek the kingdom and you be willing to allow your kids in that. And you know what my mother did in high school? My mom had a very hard time containing me. Now, she raised me and my brother. He's 3 years older than me. And we were hellions. And she always said that you guys were hellions, man. I'm not lying. We lived in the project. Me and my brother laughed. And my friends would even laugh because my mom called us bastards. It was like a joke, but that's what she said. Bastards, get in this house, you know. And I probably shouldn't be saying that from the pulpit. But my mom loved us, man. She'd scrub us up at nighttime, slap us around before bed. I remember I was kind of a fearful kid a little bit. I was younger than my brother. And my mom would come in my room, and you know what she'd teach me? She'd say, son, listen. And the Bible says, Jesus never leaves or forsakes you. What are you afraid of? Here's what you do. I'll give you $5 by Friday if you memorize this, 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. I was a kid, man, and she was giving me the word. She knew, because I was going to take off one day. And that's why she's like, I cannot believe. You know what she told me this morning? She goes, man, I hear the church is going through a tough time. I said, where'd you hear that from? She goes, your daughters were telling me. I said, oh, yeah. I didn't pass any of that on to her. She said, just remember this much. She goes, I've taught you this a long time ago, and just remember, sometimes, ma'am, you're going to walk with Jesus. Son, you're going to walk alone. And you know that. Keep walking with Jesus. Thanks, Mom. I needed it. Mom, raise kids to be maroons. Rebellious. Leave. They're going to leave anyway. So let's make this a good thing. Make it healthy as though it can leave. That's the hard part. That's the surrender and sacrifice of a mom. It hurts. You got to watch your kids go. I get it. So maroons, let's give moms a proper order today. And that is what? Respect. Lift them up. They're not higher than Jesus. But you know what they are? My mom's the first Jesus I've ever seen. My mom modeled Jesus for me. And that's the third one. She was a great model. So I am a miniature Joyce Blake. Because my mom has great faith. She loves Jesus. Mom, I want this to encourage you today. Be godly, man. You know, and don't let culture determine what you do with your kids. Don't worship the things and don't make idols. Don't make your kids idols. Don't have the idols that this culture has. You walk with Jesus and do the right thing. And you know what? You're going to find out, the Bible says this, that your kids are going to follow in those footsteps. You know, love Jesus. Hey, Mom, if you need to repent today, repent. Dry your tears today. You say, man, I've messed up. And my mom said that, man, she said this to me last time I was home. She goes, I was awful sometimes to you guys, wasn't I? I was like, I don't know. And she'd hit us with anything. And my favorite one was when she was flipping hamburgers in the skillet. You know, she's doing that thing, and I was giving her some mouth. She's like, what'd you say? I got the hamburger spatula, right? I was like, I cannot believe you just hit me with the hamburger spatula. She was, next is coming the pan, man. She meant business by it. And she says, I was hard on you guys. I was like, Mom, you know, we deserved every bit of it. One thing she did, she overrode those errors with love. Love covers a multitude of sins, doesn't it? So, Mom, I just want to encourage you. Be a godly mom today, man. You got it in you. I hope church was encouraging for you today. And let's pray right now. And listen, If you do not know Jesus Christ, that's where it starts. You need spiritual life inside. I hope you're saved. If you want to meet Jesus today, come talk to me. I'll give you a lady. She'll open the Bible and show you God's Word. Guys, I'll show you in God's Word how you can meet Jesus. And moms, if you need to repent today, repent. Moms, be encouraged today. And you got a tough job, man. It's a tough job to guide the house, like Paul tells Timothy, right? Jesus, thank you for your Word today. Thank you for the time we could spend in it. Lord, I'm thankful. Lord, I'm thankful for the graduates today. I'm thankful that we get to see, Lord, these young men and women. Lord, they're flying. They're taking off. Lord, there's mamas behind the scene that have paid a great price for it. That have seen it. Lord, I pray for them as they let go. I pray they encourage their, Lord, their children to walk with you and to love you. Jesus, today we love you. Thank you. Lord, I want to thank you personally from the bottom of my heart. For my mom. She's been such a great example to me through the years. God, I pray that I could pass that on to my kids, that they would honor their mom the way I want to honor mine. And so, Jesus, it's been good to be in church today. Good to be around people that love you. We're family today. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.